as many other amazing story of Daniels, which we're very familiar with. So we see Daniel here in the reign of King Darius. He had previously been taken captive, the tribe of Judah, and into captivity by the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar. And he had proved God in many ways under Nebuchadnezzar, and then his son Belshazzar also. And we see Daniel here now, could possibly be around 80 years old. And again, he is being put in a position of power. He's risen in the ranks. He's one of these three presidents that's been set over the kingdom to make sure the king doesn't suffer loss. And of these three, Daniel surpasses all the presidents. And I like how it says, Daniel was, we read from the previous, he was very intelligent. He was full of wisdom and understanding. But in verse 3 here it says, because his excellent spirit was in him. He had an excellent spirit. And just an excellent attitude. And I think that's a wonderful witness of Daniel, that he had this excellent spirit. And can that be found of us? Are we... do we have excellent spirit in all that we do? Daniel was, like I said, under many different rulers, and he was always as faithful as he could to all these rulers. But then in verse 4, the presidents and the satraps sought to find pretext against Daniel. Isn't this what we see today? The world has always hated Christians, and for a long time, I mean, Christians have not always been upright, and there has been time when to our own shame, found fault, but many times they cannot find a pretext against us. So what do they do here? They find out that they study Daniel, and says they found in him, they said, these men, we will not find any pretext against Daniel unless we find it against touching the law of his God. So I wonder if any of us, if men took a microscope at us, if we could, they could find nothing against us. They couldn't find anything against Daniel. And what they also, which is interesting, they knew he wouldn't. They also knew he wouldn't, he would be faithful to God over man. So they would have known about Daniel when he was young and how he wouldn't pollute himself with the food from the king's table. I think it's very interesting. We can learn a lot from Daniel, how he was faithful to God and to the rulers. He was they lived in a time where their whole identity was being wiped out, and even their names, the Babylonians, to change their names. But when it came to the food, we need to stand. And I think it's important for us. We need to have wisdom and discernment where we need to stand for God. So they knew he wouldn't be unfaithful to God, touching the law of his God. So they come in a body, and they come to King Darius. And this is, I think, so typical of today's politicians. We can just see this. They come, and they say, "O King," their smooth tongue, and they say, what do they say? "We have consulted together and establish a statute and decree to make firm." They say, all the presidents of all the kingdoms, which was a lie, they hadn't consulted Daniel. They come in this body. This, and we see today again, everything, it's put in a way, this is for the good of everyone. Everyone is agreed upon this, and how could anyone be against this? And the king signs this decree, and the laws of the Medes and the Persians didn't allow him to revoke it. But it's amazing when Daniel hears this, he goes to his house and he opens the upper chamber towards Jerusalem, and he kneels on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. It's amazing how Daniel, he did everything, his consistency, he's such a man marked by consistency. Neither does he close his window and pray in silent, and all neither right. does he go in the street and make a big show of it, provoking the king.
Very good.
Amen. He does exactly what he's always done. He's faithful to God. And he's not doing this for men. He's doing this for God.
Amen.
And he's giving thanks and supplication before God. You think of some people maybe in Daniel's house, like, what are you doing? The decree has been passed. But he has even his window open, like he always does, praying towards Jerusalem. He hasn't forgotten the goal as well of the temple in Jerusalem. And we should have our hearts fixed on where Jesus is. And even though he's in rejection, we should be praying to that end. And then, of course, the satraps and the prefects know he's going to be praying. Mm-hmm. They had studied him. And they catch him. And they bring him before the king. And you can just see the scorn in their dealings with him. They say, that Daniel, who is of the children of captivity of Judah, regardeth thee not. Another lie, he regarded the king with high respect. But they twist the words, and the king, in verse 14, heard these words, and he was sore distressed thereby. And I think it's important to remember, whoever we have in office, it makes no difference, because even this Darius, who was favorable to Daniel, was powerless to help him. Mm-hmm.
Good point.
And maybe if Trump had got in, or Biden, it doesn't matter, because we have there's so many evil men at work. The institutions of man are powerless to help us. It's only in God.
Amen.
And the king labored till night, because when someone was found guilty in those days, the judgment was passed in the evening. So the king tried everything he could do to save Daniel, but because of his own laws and what he had done, he was disappointed in himself. It couldn't be revoked. He could see through these people, but because of all the laws that were put him in the position, there was nothing he could do. And he couldn't be changed. And then the king commanded that Daniel be brought and cast into the den of lions. And the king spoke and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will save thee. Another amazing witness to Daniel. Daniel was a very busy man. Being one of these presidents, no doubt he was extremely busy and had many responsibilities. But even the king knew that he served God continually. Can that be said of me? Even at my work, am I serving God? He made time 3 times a day to pray. So the king said this. He says, thy God will save you. But in the next verse, a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with his signet of the nobles. And the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were the concubines brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. I know in my own life, like I was mentioning earlier, why am I so anxious? The king, even though he said, your God will save you, you can see he's tremendously anxious. And so many times I find, yes, I know Jesus has risen from the dead, and he has defeated death, but I'm living my life like Jesus is still in the grave. And the king here, his sleep flees from him. He cannot rest. And then the king arose in the light at the break of day and went in haste to the lion's den. And when he came near the den, he cried in a mournful voice unto Daniel. And the king and spoke, said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, hath thy God, whom thou servest continually, been able to save thee from the lion's den? And Daniel spoke, King, O king, live forever, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocence was found in me, also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Thereupon was the king exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken out of the den. It's an amazing way how God comes in here. Man, through all his scheming, thought they had won. And They thought they had gotten rid of Daniel out of their jealousy. But God has other plans. And maybe for us, maybe it is death. Daniel's friends said, whether God chooses to save us or not, we will honor the Lord. And here, Daniel, God comes in an amazing way and rescues him. But for us, maybe not. But either way, we need to serve the Lord.
Amen.
With be faithful. And I love this part where Darius, King Darius says, all the nations and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before God of Daniel, for he is the living God. It makes all the difference. We serve a living God. He's not dead. He's not in the grave. We look in comparison, this, if you look at this whole story, you can see so many comparisons with the Lord Jesus. Jesus was born and then into captivity. Well, they were under the Roman rule. And he rose in favor with all the people. But then we see the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees becoming jealous because he's overthrowing what they've all built up. And they sought a way to kill him. And then we see the Lord Jesus, just like Daniel, being going into death. And we in here in Daniel in 22, it says, my God has sent an angel and has shut the lion's mouth. They have not hurt me. For as much as before him, innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O King. Innocence was found in Daniel, and justice, God did not shed innocent blood here, but when it came to Lord Jesus, innocence was shed instead for the unjust. In Daniel, all the men who sought against him were thrown into the den and were punished justly. But when it came to the Lord Jesus, he was punished unjustly, and he went into death. And I just want to go to John 20, verse 19. We're kind of just touching on this in a reading, but I love this so much. I kind of related to this the other night again. And it says, when therefore it was evening on that day, which was the first day of the week, and the doors were shut where the disciples were through fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them to say to them, peace be to you. This is just so wonderful. Jesus comes in and says, peace. We can have peace in our soul because Jesus is risen from the dead. Mm-hmm. Think of the disciples here fearing for their lives. They were in weakness because they thought their Lord was dead. But he rose and he defeated death. And just like in Daniel, maybe it wasn't right there. But he has the keys to Hades. And all these unjust men will have a judgment day. And then it goes on, and he says, peace be unto you. And having said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced, therefore, having seen the Lord Jesus, and said therefore again to them, peace be to you. As the Father sent me forth, I also send you. It's amazing in Daniel how his act of faithfulness, the whole world learned about the God of Daniel. And it went out through the whole world, through coming out of the den. And the same thing with Jesus. When he came out, he sent to the whole world. And also, what's amazing here is this isn't even Daniel proclaiming it. It's what would be an ungodly king is proclaiming this to the whole world. You think of that testimony, the witness of Daniel, that even the unbelievers are says this, that in every dominion in my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever is, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be for even unto the end. And he saveth and delivereth and worketh signs and wonders in the heavens on earth. Who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions?
Amen.
Daniel lived through many kingdoms. He saw many kings rise and fall. But there's a kingdom that will never fall. And it's the kingdom that the Lord Jesus bringing about today. And I just want to encourage each one of us. Jesus is risen, and we just I may know that in my head, but I need to know that in my heart too, and live every day with a risen Lord Jesus in my heart.
Amen.